Hello and welcome to the LRM podcast, sponsored by Adrian Flux Insurance. I'm Martin Dominey.
And I'm Steve Miller.
And you join us for an hour of chat about Land Rovers and everything to do with owning them. You and I, back on the salmon sofa again, Stevie, after a lovely visit to Leicestershire for me last week.
Leicestershire for you?
Yeah, Mr. Hughes.
Oh, yeah.
That was very, very good. Very, very cool. Hopefully you enjoyed that podcast.
I'm sure I did. I would have listened to it by the time I listened to this.
On the beach?
On the beach.
Yes.
On holiday.
Been on holiday.
So, yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And, of course, I was a couple of weeks ago at the NEC. Classic car show.
Yes, indeed. That will feel like a lifetime ago for a lot of people, but we cannot gloss over the fact that vehicles made absolutely ridiculous sums of money at that auction.
You say ridiculous, but everything is worth what someone's prepared to pay.
Mm.
And I did my little Facebook Live thing with Ian Arthur from Howden's Insurance.
Yeah, very good as well. I enjoyed that.
I really love going around the auction.
Yeah.
And I was getting distracted by all the other cars there because I wanted to have a look around all the, you know, the other stuff.
But, see what else was about.
But yeah, the Land Rovers, there was loads of Land Rovers. And I mean, one of the highlights was that Freelander 1. Everyone's been talking about that, haven't they? So it's probably old news for many people. But, you know, when you see something with a guide of, I think the guide was like 10 grand or something, possibly. And I said, oh, that will go for more than that. 8 to 10, I think the guide was.
You were not wrong.
And I knew it'd go for more, but I didn't know it was going to go for quite what it did. And it was over like 50 grand.
52,000 with the fees.
With the fees.
Oh.
For a Freelander 1.
It's a special thing.
But
though,
it is a special thing. And
the Freelander 1's got to be one of the rarest of the camel vehicles.
Imagine if you had like a collection. I don't know who bought it. That might come to light.
I'd love to know.
But somebody might have one of everything else.
Apparently, because often when Land Rovers like that make a lot of money at auction, like cars with heritage or provenance, as they call it in the business, they often go overseas because, you know, collectors overseas are not shy about spending money on things that they really like. But apparently it is staying in the UK.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I did hear that. So
yeah.
Hopefully that's true. But yeah, if maybe you won it. Maybe you're listening right now.
You won it.
50K out of pocket for a lovely Freelander 1. It is very, very
sick. Oh, yeah, very awesome.
If you did buy it, drop us a line, editorial@lrm.co.uk. We'd love to have a chat with you.
One that did surprise me, one I got wrong actually, was the Tonga Green L322.
Oh, the X.
The X
Royal Green
Range Rover. I didn't realise that that's actually been in private ownership. And it's got almost diluted it.
So
that would have gone for over £100,000.
Straight from the royal estate it would have done, yeah.
Yeah, see now how... But that can only be diluted. I can't say the Queen, four owners ago, hasn't quite got the...
Yeah.
So the value is a...
Apparently it had a lot of paintwork as well.
Mm.
It had a lot of...
Oh, it's a cracking thing.
Mm.
Beautiful thing.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. It looked absolutely stunning, but I think that... It's probably quite far removed from how it was originally when it would have left.
Yes. Yeah.
The royal estate, potentially. But a very, very smart thing.
There was just, I mean, there was an absolute buzz around the auction there and the amount of people. Lots of people pay 20 quid for entry into it. They get the catalogue and they go in. 20 quid allowed two people in there. And I think auctions... They do often make you kind of want something that you never actually considered before.
100%, yeah.
Because it puts a price to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree. That little 90 County V8
I love that.
That was probably my favourite lot out of everything. If I was going to spend my money on one thing in that auction, factory green paint with the County cream stripe, old school modular wheels and the BF Goodrich KM1 mud terrains right up my street, and it went for £15,000.
I don't think that was too bad, but you'd easily put another 15 to 20 in restoring that, wouldn't you?
It's far from mint, but it's just got that lovely original look.
You can smell it. You know when you go near one and if you notice on the video, myself and Ian were going around sniffing Land Rovers. It sounded,
oh, yeah,
it looked a bit odd, but... You can smell. There is a difference between a 1970s Land Rover and a 1980s. And if you could bottle them up, I would know now.
Yeah.
If that was a 1980s smell versus 70s.
Definitely.
Weird, isn't it?
Land Rovers, cars in general, different brands of cars, old BMWs have a really distinctive smell and they all smell the same. Land Rovers are similar to that.
Yeah, yeah. Old Vauxhalls smell the same. Weird, isn't it?
Yeah, they have a very signature scent. If you could bottle it and sell it as aftershave, do you reckon that'd be a good business model?
Probably not.
Damp carpet and mildew.
Yeah, but like 1980s British MGBGT, damp, musty.
Disappointment.
Disappointment on wheels.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff's not fetching much. But you can see the kind of stuff that is. Yeah, Mark II Escorts at 232,000 miles. I mean, come on. Really? Anyway, that was that. Loved it. Great show. Over 70,000 people went to that show.
Really?
Yeah, wow. Most of them seem to be there on the Friday, it seemed.
Oh, I see.
Saturday was really busy, actually.
Friday's traditionally like a trade day, isn't it? Or can public get in as well?
Oh, no, public, everywhere. Yeah. Lots of people take a day off work to go to that show on the Friday.
Right.
But Saturday was equally as busy.
I'm definitely going to go next year. I really enjoyed when I have been before. It's fantastic. Just had a bit on this weekend. But yeah, really, really good.
Well, I think it was last year I couldn't go because I was accidentally booked a holiday in the same week and I stupidly made a mistake. This year I didn't.
Sounds like something you would do.
Yeah, just I don't want to miss that show. And we'll be back there in March for the restoration show.
Yeah.
Because I like that one as well.
Yeah, the restoration show is a bit more...
More grassroots.
Dirt under the fingernails.
More me and you.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
You go to NEC in November for the finished article.
Mm.
And it'll display vehicles and clubs. But then you go there, the other restoration's a bit more.
They do an auction as well, don't they?
They're the same iconic auctions, yeah.
Yeah, that would be good to see. I look forward to having a poke round there.
Yeah, and that is good.
And also, of course, we're holding our own British Restoration Hall in February, aren't we?
We are, yeah.
And Malvern.
We've got a few different clubs coming.
Yeah.
Some of them don't know they're coming yet, but they are, I promise.
Oh, I mean, anyone who came last year will no doubt want to come back because it was really, really, really good. Not just Land Rovers. If you're into anything old and mechanical.
A couple of old tractors.
Tractors, old lorries.
Lorry and,
Mini Car Club came.
Triumph.
Yeah, just good old-fashioned British engineering.
I believe this year we've got the Jaguar Enthusiast Club area bringing two or three bits and pieces over.
Oh, cool. So if you haven't sold your XK by then, you can bring that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Funnily enough, I was on that photo shoot recently. It's going in the Jaguar Enthusiast Club.
Mate. Is it?
Yeah.
You're multimediaing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, kind of. Well, we're singing from the same hymn sheet, aren't we? JLR, you know?
We absolutely are.
We're loyal to the brand.
Definitely. And we're keeping the enthusiast fire well and truly stoked and roaring, which is what the Jaguar Enthusiast Club magazine does.
It does. Do you know what, right? I've just thought of something. So I sent my Jag to, James Agger Autosport, who is a TVR specialist, a mate of mine, known him for a few years, and he's got the Jag and he's selling it on commission. And I went there yesterday to do the photo shoot, so a week after I dropped it off to him.
Yeah.
Which we didn't plan the photo shoot, but we've done it. And he'd obviously cleaned it properly.
Yeah.
Mate. I felt like buying it. It was weird. You go to like a car showroom and you look at your own car completely clean, professionally detailed.
And stored inside.
And stored inside with all the lovely lights. And you think, oh my God, I want this car.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have just driven it home and said, I'm not selling it anymore. And I reckon a lot of people will sell their car when all they need to do is clean it properly.
Maybe.
You know that new-to-you car thing that you get when a car is clean?
Yes.
Makes you feel a lot better about it.
Whenever I put the time in, which admittedly recently hasn't been that regularly, and I properly hoover out all the carpet in the Freelander, like properly, thoroughly, put all the seats back, hoover under the seats, condition all the leather, wipe all the dash down, and do a proper couple of hours.
All the windows and mirrors and things like that, reflective surfaces.
Windows in and out.
And they're gleaming, no fingerprints. Oh,
and you get in it, you maybe spritz a bit of interior. I've got this really nice, I can't remember exactly what it's called. It's like a cabin spray at the moment. It's like air freshener, essentially, but it goes into all your fabric.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. My word. You get into the car after that, after you've cleaned it all properly, hoovered it all out, and it is like driving a new car. The leather's all nice and soft. The carpets are spotless, which admittedly is quite pointless this time of year. But you get in it and it just, you just remember why you like it. It's like, just injects a bit more specialness into it again.
Weird, isn't it?
Like the Defender, like the 110, when I had that, we'll get onto that in a bit. But when I first put that back on the road, I properly scrubbed all the vinyl parts inside, like the dash top. The
because when you first picked that up,
it was
there was an awesome smell in there, wasn't it?
It was that crusty rag we found in the back, do you remember?
Anyone that wants to see your reaction, just head to our YouTube page, don't they? And I can find it, because I was giggling. I was giggling like a girl.
I'm glad I had gloves on for that. That was hideous. Yeah. But no, and it all just comes up. It's not all shiny and horrible and covered in silicon like you see cars that are for sale at like low rent car dealers, but it's...
Oh, where you feet just slide off the pedals.
Yeah.
It's just awful.
Yeah, or you open the bonnet and the engine cover is just dripping silicon off and you just think, what are you hiding?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, when you just get it just right, it's a real treat. I
like
love it.
The OEM plus of cleaning.
Yeah, basically.
So it just brings it back.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I think, sell cars when actually all they need to do is clean them.
Yeah, and if
fall back in love with it.
Got time to clean it yourself. They're like the number of detailers that have popped up, not like your drive-in hand car wash, a proper someone who will come to your house and do a cracking job on your car. Yeah, it's more expensive, but for the reasons we've just explained, there's so much value in it.
A few years ago when I worked in a different LRM HQ, we were our sister magazine, Octane magazine.
Yeah.
And why the deputy editor, I think, was his title. Anyway, Keith Adams, he had an SD1 Rover.
Right.
Which had been restored, but he had a detailer come round and do a professional detail. And they were there. There were two of them there for a full day.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anything like it. Like the door rubbers were perfect. There was even stripes in all the carpets.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, mate, that was like... And detailing, it was a few years ago now, but detailing has come on leaps and bounds even since then.
Yeah, definitely.
It's become like lots of people doing it.
The skills have, the number of people doing it has increased. The products they use have got better. It really is like brilliant.
So cleaning cars isn't for me.
I don't mind doing it, especially if the payoff is worth it. Like the Discovery 3 I bought a few years ago, which was an absolute wreck. It was like almost as bad as the 110. We took all the seats out and wet vacked all the carpet and completely stripped it back. We took part of the dash out because it all had like stale tobacco behind it and all that.
Yeah.
It was just gross. And by the time we'd put that car back together, you got like half a second worth of tobacco smell when you open the door.
But it's really difficult to get rid of.
It's almost impossible, especially if it's been smoked in heavily for a long time. But other than that, the interior, the way the leather and all the door cards and everything came back from being stained and like properly heavily ingrained with filth. Land Rover, the...
We're proud to partner with Adrian Flux, an insurance broker that specialises in covering all types of Land Rovers, including classic, ex-military, modified and Q-plated models. Adrian Flux offers a range of optional extras to make the policy your own and can provide cover for off-roading, green laning, agreed value and build-up cover. Plus, they even offer a discount of up to 15% for Owners Club members. Simply search Adrian Flux Land Rover Insurance for more information or call them directly on 0344 728 0417 for a quote.
Say what you like, the quality of their interiors is second to none when it comes to actually putting up with that abuse in a family vehicle. Impressive.
Yeah, no, definitely. Tell you what I've been driving. Well, you know what I've been driving recently.
Oh, yeah. You do need to tell me about this.
So... Neil Watson, Land Rover Life editor, had it first. It's going to appear in Land Rover Life.
Indeed.
A 35th anniversary Discovery 5.
Very cool.
And because Neil spent a fair bit of time in Discovery 5, he said, well, you have it for the next few days and tell me what you think. And
it was a D350?
D350. So yeah. 350 horsepower.
Straight six Ingenium.
Straight six Ingenium.
Diesel.
Yeah. A diesel.
Yeah, diesel.
Nine speed, isn't it? Nine speed.
Eight or nine, I can't remember which.
Yeah. You can't feel it change the gear.
Yeah.
What a phenomenal thing.
Yeah.
You know I've always maintained that Discovery 5s for me haven't grown on me.
Yeah.
The back end, still looks awkward.
What colour was it in the end? Because we were having this
Carpathian.
Oh, it was grey. So yeah, we were both wrong. I thought,
and it had
blue.
Like it had like the twin glass roof.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you could electronically fold the blind back.
Yes.
That was an op. That's an option.
Did it have black headlining?
No, I don't think so. That's, I think it was more grey.
Because I've had
sure it was grey.
The last Range Rover Sport I had on test, it had a black headlining, and you had to have the panoramic sun, like panoramic roof blind open because it was so dark.
No, it didn't. It had grey.
Oh, that's all right then. Probably better.
It was a fabulous car. But 84,000, just over with options, which is over £4,500 worth of options this car had.
Yeah.
Extended leather pack, had better wheels, like 22 inch, I forget what they were called now. The paint was an option. Electronically deployable tow bar was an option.
Yeah.
And a full size spare wheel was an option. That's like £1,050.
That's
for full size spare that yeah. just sits underneath the car.
Because if you were spending that sort of money, you wouldn't want a full size spare, would you?
Yeah. Well, I know. But then most people would just call the AA.
Yeah, that is
RSC.
True.
They
that
wouldn't
true.
Sit at the side of the road and change their wheel. The electronically deployable tow bar was a £1,440 option.
Okay.
Which I thought I would have.
Yeah.
Like I kind of went and specced it up afterwards. So I went and handed it back. I said to my wife, Louise, I said, you know, we played the game. We've like, in fact, I haven't edited it yet. Well, you haven't edited it for me, but we're going to do a YouTube video on the car. Just a quick walk around.
Yeah, we will, yeah.
So I've got lots of video content about it. And, you know, they were having a guess. Louise and Alice were having a guess at how much options were. And they were kind of miles out.
Oh, what, high or low?
Well, they thought the paint would be at least £2,000 or £3,000 more.
Right, okay.
And it was only, about £400 option.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wasn't much.
Yeah.
No, I'm lying. It was £800 for the paint option.
Okay.
I'm getting my figures wrong. It was £800. The extended leather was something like £400.
Right.
But the way people buy cars now...
Yeah, it's a few quid a month.
It's like, it doesn't make much of a difference.
No.
But I did I went onto Land Rover's website and did like a... If I was buying that car, what would it cost me? And I noticed that the options were HP or PCP. So I was like, oh, loads of people buy cars PCP now, which is a contract thing.
The most common way, I would say.
Yeah, and there was some sort of weird like deposit thing. You put £8,000 and they put in four possibly, so £11,000 or £12,000 deposit. £1,550 a month doing 15,000 miles a year. 3 or 4 years, can't remember.
Right.
And then a massive balloon payment at the end.
Which no one pays because they want a new one by that point, so they chop it in.
But it's still going to be £11,000 or £12,000 down and £1,550
a month. It's a lot of money, isn't it?
For a car that's not yet turned a wheel, and, you know, you've not put fuel in it, you've not put tyres, you've not serviced it.
No.
It's a lot of money. And I know business owners buy these things, but...
Do they buy them like that or do they lease them?
Well, I mean, PCP is kind of renting it. You don't own it, do you?
I suppose, maybe. Until you pay that balloon payment, which, again, no one does, because by that point the warranty's run out and they want a fresh one.
Yeah, I can say if you've got that kind of income or disposable income to buy a car, let me tell you, the Discovery 5 was a beautiful car to drive. You felt properly safe in it. The handling was out of this world.
Yeah.
And I haven't driven a modern car, modern Land Rover, for a long time. You could tell the car was heavy. I think it weighed 2,440 kilos.
Okay.
Something of that ilk.
Still lighter than a Disco 4, though.
Yeah, still lighter than a Disco 4. And when you went into a corner or a roundabout, you could feel it weight up, and then all of a sudden the suspension would like, no, I've got you.
Oh, really?
It was weird. Yeah. I found it. Big old car, though.
Yeah, they are big.
Like parking it in different car parks and on the drive.
Well, yes. Yeah.
My neighbour was... I had to move it to get my wheelie bin out, right? First world problem, I know. But I can get a wheelie bin past anything I put on the drive apart from Discovery 5, so you know it's wide. My neighbour was putting his bin out at the same time and He lives in like a big house, 4 or 5 bed detached house, but with like an underpass to his garage. He couldn't fit that on his drive.
Right.
He couldn't own that car. And my neighbour the other side, the adjoining house to mine, she couldn't fit it on her drive either. She'd have to dismantle her downpipe on her guttering and reconfigure the guttering to get it beyond.
Mm.
Even with the window, even with the mirrors folded in.
Yeah, it's not ideal, is it?
So that's like 2 out of 3 houses that it wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
Although everybody else in the street probably could.
They have all like the 360 cameras and stuff for parking as well, and the top-down view, and it's all very clever, but parking spaces just aren't really up to the job of modern cars, are they?
I was finding, I went to, when I went to NEC, actually, I drove there and parked, because I stayed there a couple of nights, so I parked in one of the hotel car parks, and the space wasn't big enough alongside others, so I had to park further away so there was nobody alongside me so I could get out.
Right, okay.
And then hope that no one was parking next to me.
Yeah.
And back. That, so it's a bit risky, really.
I'm always especially careful when I've got vehicles on loan from Land Rover that I, like you say, park far enough away that someone in a 400 quid Zafira is not going to come smash the sides in with the...
But even if they didn't smash and just park there, I would no longer be able to get in.
Yeah, but you'd be careful, and other people often aren't.
No, they're not. And I just thought, I could live with a Discovery 5 all day.
They're really nice.
They're lovely. But I just wish like you could get that kind of engine. And I returned 31.6 to the gallon over 4 days. I thought that was okay.
Well, it is. But when you think about the technology that new cars have and you look at what MPG cars used to do 15 years ago, they haven't really come on that far.
Yeah, but they're a 7-seater.
So strangled all the emissions nonsense.
Yeah, but it's a powerful car.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
That did get down the road really, really well.
I bet a 3.6 TDV8 would probably do around that.
Oh, I wonder what they're fitted to.
Well, there you go. It's about time you put your hand in your pocket and bought one, Steve.
I tell you what, I've never had so many people share L322 goodness with me.
Oh, been.
It's in my feed and my email, it seems like the only car in existence.
Bombarding you with adverts for L322.
But I have resisted the temptation of driving one because I know.
Oh, you'll fall in love with it.
And that there lies, I mean, you know, segueing into L322s again. Would you rather an £84,000 Discovery 5?
Yes.
Or a £10,000 L322 4.4 V8 and know that potentially their turbos might let go and it's a £6,500 bill? Or,
well, if you...
It might be £2,000 or £3,000 to keep it going, but...
But £2,000 or £3,000 is 2 finance payments on the Disco 5.
And if you had the money to put, if you had the money up front to buy that Discovery, what about the depreciation? And that's probably the true cost.
Well, a PCP, it's a well-known fact. A PCP is essentially you're paying the depreciation for the dealer so that when you chop it back in, they will retail it at the figure that you've paid off.
Yes.
That's essentially what it's for.
Do you know what? You've hit the nail on the head. I know when PCP first came about, they didn't really know what the residuals were, but they've got so much more data now to know that they get to the point where no, you don't have this kind of equity. You know, my neighbour talks about his equity in his. I talk about this Kia Sportage, but I just find it
equity kind of mad. Car.
It's not equity because you've. It's not only the depreciation, it's the interest on that. You're paying the interest on the full amount of money.
Your so-called equity in a car is all that is leverage to get you a slightly less terrible deal when you roll into another car at the dealer.
And if you can afford £1,550 a month for a Discovery 5 now, in 3 years' time, that same deal is probably £1,700 or £1,800.
Yeah.
The car will be more expensive by then.
You're listening to LRM Podcast, the UK's number one financial advice podcast when it comes to cars. You're very welcome.
Don't listen to me about financial car ownership financials because lose money.
I totally agree with you, though. How if you put them back to back, a Disco 5, any modern Land Rover would be better, obviously, than an L322. But would it be £74,000 better?
Yes.
No.
And what are you actually risking with a 10 grand purchase is 10 grand.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's never going to be worth zero, is it?
No. No, it won't be.
Even if the turbos decided to let go.
You'd do the turbos. If the car was tidy enough, you'd do them and you'd enjoy many, many years of knowing
that I see.
Your turbochargers have been changed and they're fine. And unless, you know, the sills and the arches dissolve, it's probably good for another at least 5-10 years.
But preemptive maintenance.
Yeah, I mean, you can rust-proof and you can change the oil early and things like that. Things will go wrong. It's a machine with a lot of moving parts. But
I'm not unconvinced that the Discovery 5 would have its quirks.
Well, it probably would have them. Because
even in 3 years?
Yeah, it would. It probably would.
So
what you need...
There's no guarantee, is there?
...is a 1985 110 with the 200 TDI in it. The ultimate blend.
Well, why would I do that when I can... quickly, well, not very quickly at all, finish my own 300 TDI converted 90.
Yeah, well, true. I mean, we're in the same boat, really.
We are, basically unfinished projects.
Keeping our fingers crossed that tax exemption doesn't get knocked on the head. I don't think it will.
Celebrate Christmas with Land Rover Monthly. Everything a Land Rover enthusiast could wish for. From thrilling adventures and expert tips to restoration guides and buying advice and so much more. And this Christmas, take out our special subscription offer and receive an exclusive limited edition Land Rover Monthly die-cast car set. The perfect gift for you or your loved one. But be quick, only a limited number are available. Subscribe with this great offer today at landrovermonthly.co.uk. UK offer only while stocks last.
No, I think the biggest thing that's likely to occur in the budget, which by the time this podcast is out, still wouldn't have happened in the UK, would it? I can't think.
When's the budget happen?
26th of November.
No, I don't think it would.
So they might be charging pay per mile for electric cars.
Right.
But they might not. I reckon they feed like this.
When does it come out?
I don't know.
What? When does the budget happen?
26th.
Oh, well, it comes out on the day of this podcast.
Oh, well, so yeah, this may be completely...
He might be punching the air or you might have your head in your hands. I suspect it will be the second one, but...
I don't think you can have your head in your hands too much. I don't think they can possibly bankrupt the country or turn people away from...
Given how many billions the classic car
It's worth billions worth. In this sector in the UK economy. So who knows?
It doesn't matter anyway. Anyway. You just keep driving them.
Life's too short.
Yeah.
Buy the car you want, enjoy it, and that's it. And if you've only got two Land Rovers, buy three. And if
wise
you want
words.
One, buy two.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you don't have a Land Rover and you're listening, just go and buy it.
So I've pulled the engine out of my 110. You might have seen it on Instagram.
I did see that, yeah. You sort of secretly got on with it without too much talking about
it. The thing is, though, I'm really enjoying just working on it. This is the paradox that is... You know, having the privileged position of editing the biggest Land Rover magazine in existence is you do kind of have to document every single thing you do. And
you feel obliged to content create.
When you want to just go out in the garage for a couple of hours on a Sunday afternoon, you don't really want to have to set up your tripod, do a piece to camera, take stills, take video.
No, so I haven't been doing that. It's your time.
So basically, I got the engine crane out, did the bell housing bolts, of which there weren't many, which was a concern, holding the 14J in.
That's been out before then.
I don't think it had many when it was put in, to be honest.
Okay. Friday afternoon car, possibly.
Yeah. The rest of the fitment of it is perfect, but either the studs were fitted without Loctite and they've come out, but there was not many holding the engine to the gearbox. But anyway, I undid the engine mounts and dragged it out the front. And the 200 TDI is... almost ready to go back in. I just keep, every time I go to get it on the crane and swing her into the engine bay, I notice something else that I think, I should address that first.
Do it properly and do it once.
Yeah, but the temptation is there is just to get on with it.
And get it running.
So the latest one is the spigot bush. I went to fit my lovely new heavy duty Brit Park clutch, complete kit, which I was very happy that I ordered because anyone who knows older TDI and previous Land Rovers will know that the clutch forks have an awful habit of wearing through.
Oh, they can punch through the...
It's like a pivot ball, which the...
Did yours have a standard?
Yeah.
Oh.
It was still hanging in there, but it was really quite worn out on the inside.
Yeah.
I will do a bit of video on that. So, the Brit Park clutch kit comes with, obviously, your clutch cover, your clutch plate, a very nice, high quality release bearing and a new revised heavy duty fork. So
Because they've got like a plate welded on the back, haven't they?
That's
like a brace to,
yeah,
to support.
So just yeah, gives a little bit more support to the area which the pivot ball acts on.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
So that common problem is dealt with, which I'm very happy with. But I sort of eyeballed the spigot bush and thought, I could feel it sort of tapering a little bit.
You need to put a new one in.
I'll have to replace that. And so I ordered a genuine one, would you believe? £17.99. But I thought, sometimes it's worth spending the extra money.
Yeah, but it's not going to break. About 17 quid. Yeah, but when quid isn't going to break
a non-genuine one's like 4 quid.
Yeah, well, yeah, in percentage terms, a genuine one is a lot more money, but probably worth it.
It's one of those you don't want to have to pull the engine out because the spigot bush is a problem.
For a £4 part.
Yeah, so...
18 quid part.
Put my hand in. Other things as well, like bonnet bushings, you know, which your bonnet hinges on, the plastic inserts. Okay. Only ever buy genuine ones of them.
Oh, okay.
Have you not done that?
I may or may not have about a pack of them.
Yeah, I have as well.
But yeah,
I stopped using them long ago because they don't never really fit properly, and they're too soft.
They're too loose.
No, too tight a lot of the time. Anyway,
I haven't attempted putting mine in actually.
I digress. But the so the spigot bush is on order. That should turn up soon, and I can fit the clutch. I'm going to put the engine in before I do the water pump and timing belt because at the moment the engine's a little bit wibbly wobbly, and to get
just brace it in there. It's perfect engine mount, isn't it?
Exactly. Really? To get the crankshaft pulley off, you need quite a lot of leverage, which I don't have at the moment. So, sad news, actually. My impact gun is dead.
Well, mine isn't, because mine's new.
You've got a brand new one, and now I need a brand new one, because the last few times I've used it, this may be unrelated, but it did fall into a catch pan full of engine oil.
I should imagine that's very relatable.
But I cleaned it out as best I could.
Tell me about how it expired.
So I was using it. I was actually...
So it's gone in a pool of oil.
This was a while ago,
okay.
But I cleaned it all out as best I could.
Yeah.
But every time I'd use it, you'd get a bit of a smell, like a bit of an electric-y oil smell.
Right, so things are getting hot. Right.
And I thought, right, but the performance was there. It was fine. I was, you know, taking wheels on and off and undone. I took all my flywheel and the old clutch off the 200 and all that stuff. It was still putting in a shift. But I can't remember what I went to use it for the other day, and I was spinning a bolt in, and it sort of started at, had a fresh battery on it, started at the proper RPM that you'd normally expect from it, and it sort of slowed down gradually, and the burning smell got very, very strong, and then smoke started coming out of it, and I thought, that's probably the end of
It sounds dangerous.
I did take the battery out very quickly and throw it outside,
because those lithium batteries are really quite dangerous, aren't they?
They can be, yeah. But it was definitely coming from the motor, because you could see sparks
and
also small flames, which is why I threw it outside.
That happened to an angle grinder of mine once, but that was plugged in.
Oh, no, that's bad. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it was plugged in, electric one, but it just burnt out.
What I would say is I've had this impact gun since about 2017.
That's done okay.
The batteries are still perfect.
You're not that kind to them.
Not massively kind.
Because I've seen you use it like a bit of a...
But it's very worn out. I've used it for everything.
Yeah. That's certainly its keep.
I wouldn't be surprised. Don't get me wrong. I know dropping it in the oil won't have done it any favours.
May have accelerated its demise, yeah.
But I wouldn't actually be shocked if the brushes on the motor are worn out. Because, honestly, I don't use any other impact gun. I use that for absolutely everything.
And are you quite attached to this thing? Do you get quite attached to your tools?
Well, I haven't thrown it away yet, if that's what you mean.
Yeah. It's just a secretly shelf. It's like an ornament.
I kind of want to take it apart and see what's failed, but I need to get another one first.
Don't need to get another one first, because you're not going to use that one,
a little bit. It's still...
Top tip, do not use... Seriously, you can't go using that.
I haven't got another one to replace it.
Yeah, but you know when you do like the... health and safety bit in the tech section of the magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you?
This was no. I
this is completely against.
No, don't.
Yeah.
Do as I say, not as I do. But
yeah, yeah.
I do need to order another one, so I might have to see what's on offer, because it's been a long time. Well, since 2017, I haven't bought an impact gun, so we'll see what else is out there. I might go for an even more powerful one, because there's nothing that's come up against that it won't undo.
Then you probably don't need anything more powerful than that, do you?
Well, no, but it's nice to have a bit in reserve, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I don't want to be maxing things out.
No, quite.
Finding the right parts for your Land Rover or Range Rover shouldn't be an off-road challenge. At bnh4x4.com, we've built a smarter way to get you back on track. Our new website is now live, the simple, fast and reliable way to find the parts and accessories you need. Supplying quality parts for Defender 1983 to 2016, Discovery 1, 2, 3 and 4, Range Rover Sport 2005 to 2013, with Range Rover P38A and L322 coming soon. All parts are backed by expert knowledge, quick delivery and a 2-year quality guarantee. Visit bmh4x4.com, built by enthusiasts for enthusiasts.
Shall we have, well, not so much a listener's question, but a nice little bit of listener's feedback.
Listener's feedback.
Stephen Dobson has
emailed. Only if it's positive. I'm feeling in a positive mood.
No, it's positive.
Okay, good.
He says, "Hi, Stephen Martin. I've been catching up on the podcast and I heard Steve mention a lad he met at Rip and Spares Day who's owned his Discovery 2 for 14 years and counting."
I remember.
That was me.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
He says, "I'm also called Steve. He's enclosed a picture of his Disco 2 with his World War II Willys Jeep and World War II Harley Davidson on the trailer on the way to Normandy. There is said picture." That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a lovely Discovery 2. Yeah.
Very, very nice indeed. He says, "The Discovery 2 is a keeper. It hasn't let me down to date. I've recently just spent over £3,500 on having various jobs to keep it in the very best condition I can for a daily driver at 21 years old and will continue to do so. Some people might think I'm mad, but I'm committed to its upkeep." He says he's had Range Rover Classics and Discovery since 1995, including a four-door V8 and a few other bits and pieces. But the Discovery 2 is by far the best all-rounder he's found. In 14 years, it's taken him all over the UK and many trips into Europe with the trailer loaded, as in the pick, and it still does it without fuss. What a car.
Fabulous things.
Yeah. And he goes on to talk about some old Series 2s and 2Bs that he had while he was working in his younger days. But no, absolutely cracking. Steve, thank you ever so much for getting in touch. We love to see your pictures and, of course, hear your Land Rover stories.
Definitely.
And that's actually a really popular section of the magazine as well, Readers Rovers, where people can submit their what they've been up to, what Land Rovers they've got, what they do with them. And we... showcase them over a couple of pages in the mag.
Great section of the mag. Really? Yeah, I really enjoy that bit.
Love hearing people's stories and, yeah, just keeping up to speed. Because everyone's, like we've said before, Land Rovers mean so many different things to so many different people, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
So, yeah, it's good. Any project updates from you? Have you been too busy and being on holiday and stuff like that?
I have literally zero project updates.
Fine. Okay, great.
I have to say, because I had a weekend at the NEC, and then it's not very inspiring. You know when you get in from work and you've had a long old day and it's dark now?
Yeah.
I find it really hard to feel like I go to the shed and do something.
Yes, I know what you mean.
It's really not inspiring. I really struggle with the winter.
But when I'm out there...
That's no excuse.
Even if you just chip away at like one small thing a night, when I'm out there, I feel like I'm so pleased that I've done it when I come back in.
Just got to break that seal, haven't I, and just go out there. But, yeah.
It's nice to get out of the house as well. Nice to just go down and...
Don't feel like a minute much. I seem to be in meetings a lot.
Well, yeah. Such is the life of a publisher.
Yeah, I know.
Should we have a feature of the week?
Have you actually planned this?
Yeah, in like the last 30 seconds.
You seem very organised.
Teed it up, Stephen. So this this feature in the current issue of Land Rover Monthly, which is on sale in shops now. Whenever I go to a shop or a supermarket or a newsagent, I do have to make sure that LRM is positioned favourably, shall we say.
So basically, do you slip it in front of other magazines?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, what, so you should.
Yeah. I take pride in it. And it deserves
I love a newsstand, you know.
Hard to come by these days sometimes. Yeah. But
and that there lies...
Funnily enough, actually, I spent my lunch break driving around trying to find another magazine I won't mention the name of, and I went to probably 5 different places and couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah.
So actually, LRM's doing quite well on the newsstand.
It is doing quite well.
And that is thanks, in no small part, to fantastic features like this. Gary Pusey, once again, knocks it out of the park with a fantastic classics feature all about a very special police Range Rover. This Range Rover, which belongs to retired inspector Jeff Taylor, has been it's had a lot on in its life, shall we say. Obviously, it started out brand new, off the showroom floor, went straight into the force with Greater Manchester Police, and served there. He drove the vehicle through his career, and when they went to let it go, he managed to get hold of it, and he's done a. It was obviously in quite bad condition after, you know, it's an old car.
They would have had a hard life.
They're normally well serviced, but also used very hard as well. Got hold of it, and he's essentially commissioned a very, very nice restoration on it. And basically, he uses it for serving policemen. Like, if they've got a wedding or another event on, he'll take it along and help them out. And it stars in. It's been in on TV shows. It's been to Goodwood. Yeah, very, very special machine. And he's also not afraid to use it, as you'll see in the pictures on the feature, where he looks like he's giving it quite a bit of a full tilt.
What year is it?
Around a corner.
Oh, 82-ish.
In the year. Hang on, let me find out. In the in the pouring rain. So he's clearly not too worried about getting it wet or dirty, which is very, very rare for a Range Rover Classic these days.
I like to see them used.
Yeah. I've got a chap, Dan Sherwood, who does quite a bit for us now. He was after one for a photo shoot for another magazine. And you think like a mid-80s Range Rover Classic would be easy to find.
No.
Everyone's tucking them away.
It's a shame, really, but... Yeah, I suppose they put so much into them, restoring them, and so much money.
I get it, but also, they like to breathe. They like to stretch their legs now and again.
I just can't imagine owning anything that doesn't get used all year round.
No.
I just crack on.
I agree. Indeed. We were saying this very thing with Joe last week. He was like, yeah, said basically the same.
It's a mechanical object.
If you've got it, use it. Cause,
yeah, I think so.
Yeah. That's the way forward. Shall we roll seamlessly into a product of the week? And this product actually stars in our Christmas gift guide. So if you're stuck for something to get for a friend or family member who likes their Land Rovers, look no further.
Nice.
Are you ready to hear it?
I am. Yeah, sorry. I was mid-yawn just then.
Yeah, I know. You're absolutely spilling over with excitement.
What am I going to spend money on now? That's what basically I want to know.
Clark Micro Jumpstart Unit.
Handy. Certainly this time of year.
Absolutely. I've needed one of these a couple of times in the last few months. Awarded 2024 Best Overall Jumpstarter by What Car Magazine. There you go. Quite an accolade. Compact and powerful JSM 1200 Micro Jumpstart. Small, lightweight, lithium polymer power bank with an inbuilt torch, and it can jumpstart a car with a completely flat battery, making it perfect for emergency situations. So you can keep it topped up. You can charge it through the USB port in your car or your cigarette lighter with a USB adapter. Make sure it's all in good topped up condition. And then if you do ever have a problem with your battery, boom, you're ready to go.
Just get you going, yeah.
And not only that, you can also use it to charge up phones and tablets and other devices should you need to while you're out camping, which I do all the time, to be fair.
Yeah, handy thing that is. I have used something similar to that. Yeah. And for surprising result from something so small.
Mm.
They give you that kind of like a kickstart, doesn't it?
Yeah, you can get these from machinemark.co.uk, our good friends at Machine Mark. Again, £82.98. For the amount that it does, really isn't that bad.
No, if that just saves one call out for like a breakdown service and gets you home without having to wait hours and hours on end.
Paid for itself.
That is easily paid. It's like a bit like diagnostics in some ways, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's probably one of the most called out reasons is flat batteries. But certainly this time of year, winter, when batteries go flat quickly.
Yeah.
People do short runs with all the heaters on and, yeah.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. You're absolutely right. I've had to replace both my Freelander 2's battery this year and my wife's car's battery this year. Although I say I've had to replace my wife's car's battery this year, her car kind of is the Freelander now. I think she's stolen it permanently.
I have noticed that you are coming to work in a non-Land Rover at the minute.
Sadly, that is true. Apart from a couple of weeks ago when I brought the Series 3 in, I have been demoted, it would appear, to her car because she's taken the Freelander 2 and she's been spoilt with comfy seats, heated leather, nice windows, elevated driving position, higher suspension, an automatic gearbox, and climate control. So, yeah,
Sounds to me like you need to off this Seat.
Do you think the time is nigh?
And then it almost presents an opportunity.
Would you think?
For another, that presents an opportunity for an L322.
No, I can't be dealing with the headache, especially if you're going to buy one, because Muggins here will be looking after that as well.
Yeah, would you though? This is it. You've already said you need a ramp.
Yeah. You do for most things.
Yeah, which is absolutely fair.
They're a big, heavy car, and you know, they're quite difficult to support stably on like a driveway.
Drive.
Yeah, especially a gravel
drive.
Yeah,
we haven't got the situation to be driving that.
No. Disco 3 and 4 and Sport are a little bit easier because they have a proper chassis, but because Range Rover's a monocoque with subframes, it's not quite as straight.
Yeah, see, I just, that puts me off.
Yes.
It does. Because I just know what kind of bills you're going to be presented with.
A friend's been looked at a Disco 3 was it a Sport or a Disco 3? I can't remember. Something of that era with a blown turbo. And he was like, oh, would you give me a hand changing it? And I thought, well, by the time you get underneath that and try and undo like the crossover pipe and the downpipe from the turbo, all the studs are going to shear off. All the nuts are going to round off.
A horrendous job.
You'll be taking the body off it. But taking the body off is actually quite good fun. If you've got a ramp. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which he has access to.
People, like those people having like competitions, weren't they? Taking bodies off and how quick they can do it.
Yeah. I think, not that I'd ever rush particularly when I was in the dealer, but you could do it in about 2 to 3 hours. Probably about 3 hours.
That's decent.
When you consider how dramatic they look, it was always a real treat when, because service advisors and that would be talking to customers and the customer would come in if they'd forgotten something in their car or whatever and they needed.
There's the body and letters.
Literally, they would come through like the little walkway into the showroom so they could show, because they weren't insured to be in the showroom, but anyway. In the workshop, but like the look on their faces when they saw their car split in half was just like, what? It looks so good.
Yeah, yeah.
They loved it, though. It was really quite eye-opening for them.
Well, yeah, it's not something you often see, is it?
It's like when you're a kid and you go to the garage with your dad and like you go to a tyre place and they go, oh, do you want to sit in the car when you go up on the ramp? Do you ever have...
Oh, that's quite exciting.
Yeah, you saw like that real buzz. I'd imagine that's a similar, like the equivalent when you're an adult. Is seeing your car in two drastically different pieces.
I bet they're not allowed kids in cars now on ramps.
I don't think you were back then either, to be fair.
Oh, okay.
Did you even have a childhood if you didn't go up on a four-post ramp while your dad spoke to the tyre fitter?
I don't think so.
No.
I've often done that.
Let's do a quick, before we sign off, because it's almost home time, next week we're going to do unpopular Land Rover opinions.
Unpopular.
Unpopular Land Rover opinions. So if you've got something that really gets your goat about Land Rovers or people that do things to Land Rovers, send us an email, editorial@lrm.co.uk. I've definitely got a few that really get on my nerves. I know you have as well.
Yeah, I'll have a think about it.
But we would love to hear yours. You can be anonymous if you want to. But yeah, send them in, editorial@lrm.co.uk. With your unpopular opinions about Land Rovers and even the Land Rover scene, if you want to go that far, could be quite a fun podcast, I think.
I think there may be some people that listen to this might maybe feel offended by that.
Done something that we're not, that we think is an unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's an opinion. It doesn't hurt anyone.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Take it in the spirit that it's intended. It's a light-hearted bit of.
Yeah,
ribbing,
opinions.
That's what we're going to do next week. So you get thinking while you're off lying on the beach. I will do that while I'm sat here toiling, making content. And thank you ever so much for listening. If you want to follow us on Instagram, Land Rover Monthly on Insta. Oh, that reminds me, the first teaser video for LRM Fest is live on YouTube now.
It is, actually.
Go and check it out. It's really good. Steve and I went to the woods to film it.
Yeah. Do you know, I've been in the woods twice with like people.
Colleagues.
Like, colleagues, yeah. So dodgy. The woods is a good place to film.
Well.
It is.
I wouldn't know. But, follow Steve. Steve Miller Automotive. I'm Land Rover Martin. Check out Land Rover Monthly on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube. Sign up to the newsletter on the website.
Yeah, all of that stuff.
All that good stuff. And yes, don't forget, questions, feedback, unpopular opinions, editorial@lrm.co.uk. We would love to hear them. And until then, we'll see you next week.
Bye for now.